So next Sunday, we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary as a church. Like, how awesome is that? It's pretty amazing, right? If you've been around Relevant for any period of time, you know that at Relevant, we're focused on impacting the Karen people from Burma. What many of you don't know is how that all came about. Well, like every other local church, Jesus has called us to be a part of carrying on Jesus' mission of transforming the world by ushering God's kingdom both locally and globally. Well, after we started Relevant in September of 2009, we concluded the best way for us to do that globally was to laser focus all of our efforts onto one people group. So in 2011, 2 years after we started Relevant, we put a team of people together to identify one people group to focus all of our global impact efforts on. And this team of people met for months and identified many unreached people groups all throughout the world. One of those people groups were the Karen people from Burma. We discovered during this time that the Karen people had been in civil war with the Burmese army for over 60 years. The Burmese army for 60 years invaded villages within Karen state of Burma. They burned down the Karen people's homes. They raped their women. They kidnapped their children, and they killed their men. Thousands upon thousands of Karen people abandoned their homes, abandoned their villages, fled Burma to save their lives, and ended up as refugees. Many on the Thailand side of the Thai-Burma border, and then obviously many more in other parts of the world. The injustice, the darkness, the evil against the Karen people over decades it's unfathomable. And that's not the way God intended it to be. During this time, we also discovered that there are over 5,000 Karen refugees at that time that lived right here in Omaha. I mean, God had already brought 5,000 Karen refugees to our own backyard. So for all of those reasons and more, we decided that we were going to be for the Karen people and focus our global impact efforts on ushering God's kingdom with them, both on the Thai-Burma border and right here in Omaha. And then in 2012, a small team of us took our first trip to the Thai-Burma border to identify how we could begin investing in the Karen people globally. And while we were there, we visited the Safe Haven Orphanage. Safe Haven Orphanage is an orphanage of Karen refugee orphans in the middle of the jungle, right on the Thai-Burma border, that was started and led by this beautiful woman named Tosini, right down there. You can see her in the front. She's on the right side of me. The skinnier me with less tattoos me, just an absolute beautiful woman. And we actually brought Tosini here last year. Many of you were able to meet her. Man, the moment we stepped into Safe Haven Orphanage, we knew God was calling us to partner with them, so we immediately did. And over the past 12 years, we, Relevant Community Church, Little Relevant, has literally cared for all 60 Karen orphans at the Safe Haven Orphanage, ensuring they have all the food they need, the education they need, the clothing they need, the medical care they need. We, Relevant Community Church, are their primary financial support, and it's amazing. But that's not all that's happened. Since 2012, we've established a partnership with an organization called Outpour, and we have built an orphanage for Karen refugee orphans called The Refuge. Furthermore, in 2020, we just felt like God was putting a big vision on our hearts to help reach Karen people globally for Jesus. And so in 2020, we had this vision on our hearts that we wanted to help start five churches on the Thai-Burma border or within the Karen state within Burma. Well, recently, we partnered with a Karen pastor named Aku and have planted our first Karen partner church on the Thai-Burma border. Isn't that awesome? Absolutely awesome. And then locally, we've helped provide sustainable living for hundreds of Karen refugee families. I mean, it's so awesome that we, little small Relevant Community Church, have been able to do all that together. And it's another reason why I love our church. And I do. I love our church. And so many of you do too. Well, you need to know that hasn't happened by accident. And I want to continue to be part of a church I love, and you do too. Well, you also need to know that won't happen by accident. After 15 years of being the pastor of Relevant, I'm convinced that to create a church you love requires commitment. It requires commitment from you, from me, from everyone. So throughout this series, before we celebrate our anniversary together, I want to talk about that. Specifically, I wanted to talk about four commitments that so many people have made over the past 15 years that has created a church that so many of us love today. Four commitments that will continue to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that you and others love to be a part of for years to come. And thus far, we've covered three of those four commitments, which are be engaged, be connected, be a fanatic. If you're a part of Relevant and you want to continue to create a church that you love and you missed any of the last 3 weeks, I would just encourage you, go back and watch those messages. Today, before we land the plane on this series and talk about the fourth commitment, I do want to invite you to do something today. It's so amazing to me that so many people have nothing good to say about their church or the church in general. And so many people, this, all they do when it comes to their church or the church is they complain. And when people are complaining, followers of Christ are complaining about the church or their church, I always wonder, like, why are you doing that? That is not going to make anyone who's not part of the church want to be part of the church. Like, stop complaining so much. Well, we have the opportunity to do opposite of that. We have the opportunity right now in this series to tell people why we love our church. And I want to invite you to do that in two ways. The first is the I Love My Church photo booth right out here in the lobby. Grab that sign before you leave today. Take a picture with that sign and post why you love your church. Let's just tell people. Let's just throw it out there and show people why we love being a part of this church body. Second thing is the I Love My Church video booth, which is right across the hall. And I would love if many of you went and got yourself filmed just finishing this sentence, I love my church because. And we're going to put a bunch of those, as many of those as possible together for our anniversary next week. We're going to celebrate that together about why so many of us love being a part of the same church with one another. We're going to praise God for that. And I know some of you have been nervous over the last few weeks about doing this and so haven't done it yet. I would just encourage you, man, just get over that nervousness. It's okay. Step out, do it, because it's powerful. And I promise you, we will not make fun of you too much. Like, so just step out and do it because it's going to be powerful. All right, now here's the reality. The reality is there are numerous commitments that we all must make to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church. But I couldn't end this series without talking about what I believe to be the most important commitment of all, and that is to be relentless. To be relentless means to be determined with severe intensity. Here's the big idea for today. To create a church you love, you must be relentless about reaching people for Jesus. To create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that you and others love being a part of, you, I, all of us must be committed to be determined with severe intensity about reaching people for Jesus. Of all the commitments we can make, I believe this is the absolute most important one, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But because I believe this is the most important, it's the number one thing I have been committed to keep as our top priority as a church over the last 15 years. Now, what I wasn't expecting 15 years ago when we started Relevant was that this would be the hardest thing to keep us committed to as a church. I mean, when I was starting Relevant, I just assumed keeping this as our top priority would be super easy, because I assumed every follower of Christ was as passionate about reaching people for Jesus as I was. I was wrong. I've come to realize that the natural inclination of every church is to become inward focused. I don't know why it happens. I don't know how it happens. But over time, the longer a church exists, the natural pull of every church is to isolate themselves from the world, to turn inward, to make it all about themselves. What's best for us, what we want for ourselves, what will make me happy, what will make me comfortable, what I need and what I want is more important than what a world who doesn't know Jesus needs. And you know this. That's not how to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that you love. As a matter of fact, That's how to create a church void of God's Spirit, God's presence, and God's power that you and others eventually want nothing to do with. And the reason for that is because our ultimate purpose as Jesus' church is to carry on Jesus' mission. Our ultimate purpose as Jesus' church is to carry on Jesus' mission, at least according to Jesus. In Luke 19, Jesus clearly stated what he ultimately came to earth to do. He said, "For the Son of Man," and that's a phrase he often used to refer to himself, "for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to seek and to save those who are lost, those who have a broken relationship with Holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. And that's you and you and you and you and you and me and every single person. Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to die in our place on the cross as a sinless, perfect sacrifice to atone for our penalty of sin against him, to forgive us for our violation of sin against him, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and in the next, and to offer us eternal life. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for. That's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he could do. Now, real quick, before I move on, I just want to talk to those of you just real fast who'd say you're not followers of Christ. Those of you who say, "I've never put my faith in Jesus. I'm kind of just seeking it out. Actually, I'm surprised I'm here even listening to you." I just want to talk to you just real fast. Jesus came to seek and save you. He came to seek and save you because your Heavenly Father loves you. And all that's required to receive the salvation, to receive the forgiveness, to receive the grace, to receive the eternal life that Jesus died on the cross to give you and rose from the grave to give you, all that's required is you putting your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins, your Savior, and declaring you want to follow him as the leader of your life, as your Lord. And listen, today, if any point in time, you just feel this internal like prompting and stirring and like, "I ought to do that. I can't believe I am thinking about doing that." I believe that that is God inviting you to do that today. And I'm going to give you an opportunity when I pray at the end to do that. And I believe there's no better time, if you feel that prompting today, than to do that now. According to Jesus, he came on a mission to be the hope of the world, to be your hope, to be my hope. He came on a mission to seek and to save those who are lost. And then he made it very clear that our purpose as followers of Christ, our purpose as the church, is to carry on his mission. 40 days after Jesus' death and resurrection, he gathered his small community of disciples, his small community of followers, his church, which at that point in time was about 100 people or so. He gathered his church together one final time before he physically ascended, before he physically left this earth. And Matthew and Luke recorded the final words that Jesus said to them that are also for us today. And I believe Jesus saved these words for last because it was what was most important to him, and he didn't want them to forget, and he doesn't want us to forget. And here's was his last words. "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." And by the way, they believed all authority on heaven and earth had been given to him because they saw him die and then they saw him rise 3 days later. They're like, "He's got authority over death. All authority has been given to him. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Because of that, therefore, go." Not just some of you, but all y'all. "Go and make disciples. Go reach people who don't know me, invite them into a saving relationship with me, and inspire and empower them to follow me. Go make disciples of all nations." That's the locally and globally piece. "Baptizing them for them to publicly proclaim they have put their faith in me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, until the very end of the age." And by the way, they knew how Jesus' presence would be with them and with us was by his Spirit, referred to as the Holy Spirit, residing within us after we put our faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. However, when Jesus said these words, at this point, he still hadn't sent his Spirit to reside in anyone because he was still physically present here. Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Luke recorded an additional final statement that Jesus made that Matthew didn't record. Here was his final statement. But you, remember, he's speaking to his church, his gathering of followers. Jesus is not speaking to an individual here. But you, all y'all, will receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, the same Spirit that rose me from the dead is going to reside in you individually and together and fill you with power. And because the Holy Spirit resides in all y'all, you will be my witnesses, my ambassadors, my sent ones in Jerusalem, that was their local community, in Judea and Samaria, that was the surrounding areas, and to the ends of the earth. Right before Jesus physically left this earth, the last thing he said to his church, to his followers, was your ultimate purpose is to carry on my mission of seeking and saving the lost, of reaching people for me, of sharing the good news of what my death and resurrection means for every single person. And I was relentlessly committed to the mission of seeking and saving the lost to the point of death. And now you be relentlessly committed to it above all else. And just so you know, the primary reason that I am sending my Spirit to reside in you is not for yourselves, but to fill you individually and together with my presence and power to enable you to live out this mission. And the implication of that is this. God moves with relentless power when we live with relentless commitment to what Jesus has called us to. Our ultimate purpose as Jesus' church is to carry on the mission that Jesus came to this earth for, died on the cross for, rose from the grave for. Jesus promised if we're relentlessly committed to it, that he, through his Spirit, will move with relentless power in us and through us. But if we don't, he doesn't. We discovered all throughout the series that the church is a people who are the body of Christ called to be Jesus' hands and feet. As the body of Christ today, we have been called by Jesus to be his hands and feet, ultimately to carry on his mission of reaching people for him and introducing them to the love, forgiveness, mercy, grace that he has for them, to the salvation, the hope, the peace, the fulfillment, the transformation, the eternal life that he's made available to them through a saving relationship with him. Bottom line being this, Jesus is the hope of the world and the local church is his agent of hope. Relevant. Our ultimate purpose as Jesus' church, as the body of Christ, is to be Jesus' hands and feet to carry on his mission, to be his agents of hope. And that's why, as a church, we're relentless about reaching people for Jesus. We're relentless about being a community of people, the unchurched people, people who don't know Jesus, people who got skeptical of the whole church thing, people who believe differently than us. We're relentlessly committed. We're relentless about being a community of people that unchurched people want to know, want to engage with. We're relentless about sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus. We're relentless about who we're trying to reach, not who we're trying to keep. We're relentless about people knowing who we know, Jesus. We're relentless about people who don't know Jesus about reaching people who don't know Jesus and seeing their lives and their eternities transformed. We're relentless about reaching people for Jesus because this is the mission that Jesus came to this earth for, died on the cross for, rose from the grave for. We're relentless about reaching people for Jesus because people's lives and people's eternities are at stake. No one has reached for Jesus. No one knows their need for Jesus. No one experiences the love of Jesus. No one opens their hearts to Jesus. And no one puts their faith in Jesus if we don't live our purpose of what we're called to as the body of Christ. The only way people who don't know Jesus will see and experience Jesus and potentially want to put their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life is through you and me, Jesus' followers, his church, the body of Christ. We're relentless about reaching people for Jesus because you and I, we can't follow Jesus without being relentless about, reaching people for Jesus, which means you being transformed into everything God's created you to be is at stake, and us being transformed into everything God's created us to be is at stake. We're relentless about reaching people for Jesus because when we live for Jesus' mission, we experience Jesus' presence and power. I said earlier that the natural inclination of every church is to become inward focused. And we can't let that happen to us. And we mustn't let that happen to us. Because if we do, we will become void of God's presence and power. And there's nothing sadder than being part of a church where no one's putting their faith in Jesus, where no eternities are being transformed, where no salvations are being experienced, where no one is being baptized. When that happens, the church feels dead. It seems like God has left the church, and maybe he has. But when we're truly reaching people for Jesus, when your friends and family's lives are being transformed, when you see people who you never thought would surrender to Jesus getting baptized to proclaim their faith in Jesus, you can't help but say, I love my church. You can't help but say it because you know only God could have done all that. You know God is at work. Listen, I really believe my number one job as the lead pastor is to keep us relentless about reaching people for Jesus. Unfortunately, that has been the most challenging aspect of my job over the last 15 years. Over the last 15 years, numerous people, numerous times, have come to me and said, Ronnie, I feel like we're too outward focused. I feel like we're too focused on who we're trying to reach. And because of that, if things don't change, I'm going to be leaving the church. And these people come to me, and I think that what they're thinking is, I'm going to apologize and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we're so focused on reaching outward. I'm so sorry. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. I want you to keep your money here. I want you to, like, so will you please, what could I get you to do to stay? What could I do to make you happy? I think that's what people think I'm going to say when they come to me and say this. I'm going to leave because we're too outward focused. Instead, here's what I say every single time. We'll miss you. We'll miss you. You ain't never going to hear me apologize for doing what Jesus gave his life for, seeking and saving the lost. Ain't no apologies coming from me. As a church, we're relentless about reaching people for Jesus. And you need to know, as long as I'm the pastor here, as long as I'm the pastor, this is the number one thing we will be committed to above everything else as a church. But here's the reality. You clap now, that makes you happy now, but all of a sudden you get upset when things don't go your way. But thank you for clapping. Do it again. Let's get it on, Jeannie. Let's get it on, Jeannie. But here's the reality. You know this. I said this last week. Did you know this? Come on. We can't be relentless without all of we. We as a church can't be relentless about reaching people for Jesus without all of we being committed to it. So for those of you who say that Relevant is your church, will you be committed to being relentless? I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're kind of like checking Relevant out, like, is this the church for me? I'll just be really honest with you. You will not love this church if you don't want to be committed to this. You won't. I will let you know right up front. But you want to be committed to it. And you want to be committed to it because to create a church you love, full of God's presence and power, you must be relentless about reaching people for Jesus. So for those of you who say yes, for those of you like, yes, I want to be committed to be relentless about reaching people for Jesus, I want to challenge you to do that in three quick ways. Two of these ways are for all of us. One of these ways is for some of us. The first way is for all of us, and that is to serve at Impact, what we call Impact Ops, When we present opportunities to you to serve Korean refugees or to serve the Elkhorn community, serve at those impact ops. Earlier, I talked about being laser focused on impacting Korean people from Burma. Let me talk about our local community for just a second. We're not okay being a church in Elkhorn. We're called to impact our community for Jesus. And the phrase we use to remember that is, we are for Elkhorn. Many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. We want to be known by what we're for. We are for Elkhorn. We're for Elkhorn. Kids, students, adults, families, schools, teachers, businesses, because God is for them. We're for people who are hurting, broken, lost, lonely, and hopeless, because God is for them. We're for sharing the message of hope, peace, joy, forgiveness, salvation that Jesus came for, Jesus died for, Jesus rose from the grave for. We are for helping transform as many people as possible in our community to everything God's created them to be, and helping transform our community into everything God intended it to be. So, we do as much as we can for our community by serving our community through things like the Family Fun Festival, Elkhorn Days, our annual Serve Day, Flicks at the Chef, the Elkhorn Tree Lighting, Elkhorn School Adoption. We strongly believe the more we are known by who we're for, the better our chances are to introduce them to who we know, which is Jesus. Serving our community will not necessarily make anyone who doesn't know Jesus want to come check out Relevant. We know that. But everyone sooner or later experiences pivotal circumstances. They get diagnosed with cancer, experience the death of a loved one, go through a divorce. And these circumstances can cause people who have said no to God to consider pivoting toward Him and thinking, maybe I need God. Maybe I should check out church. And maybe in that moment, they remember how much Relevant is for them, and they come check us out. And if they do, we get to share the good news of Jesus. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll end up putting their faith in Jesus, asking Him to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. By the way, how we, so many of us, responded after the tornado devastated our community a few months ago, showed our community that we are for them. And through that, many people have come to Relevant and many people have put their faith in Jesus. So, my challenge to all of us is to be relentless about reaching people for Jesus by serving at our community and global impact ops when we present those opportunities to you. The second way is not for all of us, but it's definitely for some of us, and that is to engage in serving on an impact team. For some of you, this is how Jesus is inviting you to do what we talked about in part one of this series, to be engaged in operating as a fully functioning member of the body of Christ, to be engaged in the mission of our church by serving on a team. For some of you, in order for you to be relentless about reaching people for Jesus and, by the way, to lead the rest of us into being committed to this as well, Jesus is inviting you to engage in serving on one of our community or global impact teams. And there's many different opportunities on these teams, from helping plan and execute community impact ops like Family Fun Festival, Flicks at the Chef, Elkhorn Tree Lighting, to serving on an Elkhorn School Adoption Team, to helping plan and execute our annual Serve Day, to helping provide sustainable living for Korean refugees here in Omaha, just to name a few. So, if you feel that Jesus is prompting you to engage in this way, I invite you to sign up for TeamLink today. Talked about it every week throughout the series. TeamLink is an hour event to learn about different teams here at Relevant and learn how to take a next step to engage. And listen, you're not committing to any team by signing up for TeamLink. You're just committing an hour of your time to come to TeamLink. TeamLink is actually next Sunday, on Anniversary Sunday at 2 p.m. right here at the Relevant Center. You can sign up on the web. You can sign up on a mobile app. If you're in the room, you can go in the Next Step area. One of our team members can answer questions about it and get you signed up there as well. All right. The final way for we to be relentless about reaching people for Jesus is for all of us, and that is to reach one. Be relentless to reach one person for Jesus. If you, if I, if all of us were relentless about doing this, this would change everything, because reaching one person at a time for Jesus is how the world is transformed by Jesus. Plain and simple. To be a church that is relentless about reaching people for Jesus, you and I and all of us who are part of Relevant simply need to be intentional to reach one person who doesn't know Jesus. In 2020, God put a huge vision on our heart to reach 5,000 people for Jesus by 2030. That doesn't even seem possible to me. But it is if we all just reach one. 2,500 people say that they're a part of Relevant Community Church. If we all reached one person for Jesus just this year, we'd be halfway to seeing that God-sized vision become a reality today. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I can't reach someone for Jesus. I don't know how to do that. Well, let me tell you, you can. You can, because as a follower of Christ, as someone who's put their faith in Jesus, you have the power of God's Spirit residing in you. Therefore, you can, with just a little bit of intentionality. So I want to give you four words to how to practically, intentionally, and powerfully reach one for Jesus, no matter who you are, how long you've been following Jesus, how much of the Bible you know or don't know. And I call these four words the 4I framework to reach one, because all four words start with the letter I. The first word is identify. Identify a reach one. Someone in your life who hasn't put their faith in Jesus. Identify that reach one. Second, intercede. That's a fancy word for pray. Pray for your reach one daily. Third, invest. Relationally invest in your reach one, loving them just as Christ first loved you and being Jesus' hands and feet in their life. And then fourth, invite. Simply invite your reach one. Say, you should come with me this Sunday. You should come with me to my T-Life group. You should come with me to Rooted. You should come with me to Youth United. You should just come and see. Don't worry about having it all together. Just come as you are. Come sit with me. Now, I don't have time to break this 4I framework down anymore today, and I could break it down a lot, but we just don't have time. And so to help you and to just give you a little bit more resource around this, we put together this Reach One booklet just to help you. And so on your way out, I just encourage you, they're all by the doors, just grab one of these Reach One booklets, and I'd encourage you just to read through it and go through the activities that we give you in this. This is also all available online, so for those of you watching online or for those of you who'd like to have it in digital format, it's on our web, it's on our mobile app, on the Reach One page under our resources tab, both on the web, our website, and on our mobile app. So you can access it there anytime. But grab one of these on your way out. Now, I do quickly want to talk about the power of this last word, invite. Here's what you need to know. You can forever change a person's life through a simple invitation. You can forever change a person's life through a simple invitation. And you can, because you're part of a church that is relentless about reaching people for Jesus. We're relentless about being a community of people who say yes to people who have said no to Jesus, no to his church, and no to what we believe. We're relentless about sharing God's love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, salvation, life that's available for all people through faith in Jesus. We're relentless about being a church where people can come as they are and be loved where they are. We're relentless about helping people be transformed into everything God's created them to be by inspiring and empowering them to take next steps to follow Jesus today. We're relentless about making faith practical. We're relentless about never compromising God's truth, never watering down God's truth, but walking in the fullness of God's grace and God's truth. We're relentless about creating environments you want to invite people who don't know Jesus to, and afterwards hearing, I'm glad I came. That was helpful. Thank you. I want to come back. We're relentless about reaching people for Jesus. So be relentless. Be relentless to reach one. Be relentless to invest and invite. Invest and invite. Invest and invite. Invest and invite. Invest and invite, because your ultimate purpose as a follower of Christ is to carry on Jesus' mission of reaching people for Jesus. Invest and invite, because God moves with relentless power when we live with relentless commitment to do what Jesus has called us to. Invest and invite, because churches that stop intentionally investing and inviting unintentionally become inward-focused churches for church people and die. Invest and invite, to create a church you love. Invest and invite, because you can forever change a person's life through a simple invitation. And praise God, we've seen and that we watched that happen over and over and over and over here at Relevant. I want to quickly show you a story of two guys who are now a part of my T-Life group. Go ahead and take a look.
My name's Drew.
My name's Dawson.
We went to elementary school, middle school, high school all together, so I've known him for a long time. I think about a year after high school ended, we kind of picked back up.
No, I was at a really low moment in my life. Like, I was just trying to meet people, trying to find people. I was fresh out of high school. Didn't know what was going on with my life. And I messaged Drew, and I had asked him, like, hey, you want to go lift? And he said, yeah, come on. And so we went and lifted, and then slowly he just started, like, inviting me.
We started talking more about just kind of where we're at in life, and felt like, you know, Dawson was telling me how, like, he was in a lower spot, and he was just looking for hope, for happiness. So I just said, like, I kind of just thought in my head, like, I chuckled to myself. I was like, this is where we let the Lord cook, as they're saying nowadays. Reached out to him about T-Life, and Dawson ended up coming. He kept showing up, and then put his faith in Jesus, and then it's been, yeah, now we're here.
My first time at T-Life, it was awesome. I mean, I was definitely like, as everybody's going to be meeting a new group of people, it's going to be really nerve-wracking, but everybody was really open and honest. Like, it's just a group of guys, group of girls that you can go in there and spill, and no one's going to spill to other people. When I put my faith in Jesus, I was sitting in the basement with everybody, and like Ronnie kind of put me on the spot, like, so like, have you put your faith in Jesus? And I was like, no, I haven't, but I want to, so like, let's do it. And so we all just kind of like prayed, and I put my faith in Jesus. Drew inviting me to do all this, I mean, it means the world, because like, my life has changed in so many different ways.
I think investing and inviting is important because, first of all, the invest part, just getting to know the person on a deeper level, because I know Ronnie says all the time, like, that person doesn't know you, and just go ahead and preach at them, they're going to be like, okay, what are you talking about? So I think just that relationship part makes it more meaningful, I guess, and people are more open to that. And then the inviting part, even if they don't end up going, when you invite them the first time, I think that also allows God to plant a seed for them to start pondering that invitation. And then who knows, if you do it more down the road, they'll end up turning up, and then just see what God can do. Transformation I'd be able to see in Dawson from just the simple invitation with him joining T-Life group, joining on Sunday mornings, and then ending up serving and rooted as a leader has been really cool, just to see the transformation in his life, just from a simple invitation, so.
Isn't that awesome? So Dawson, the guy who put his faith in Jesus, loves his church because of how his life has been transformed here with us. Now he's part of a T-Life group, fully engaged. He's serving and rooted, serving middle school students, investing into them. And then Drew. Drew loves his church because his church helped reach his friend for Jesus. So for those of you who say Relevant is your church, now forget that. Forget that. For those of you who say you're a follower of Christ, let me ask you, what next step is Jesus inviting you to take to be relentless about reaching people for Jesus? Whatever that next step is, I want to invite you to be committed to take it. Take it for the person who doesn't have a saving relationship with Jesus. Take it for God's glory. Take it for you. Take it for us. Take it because to create a church you love, you must be relentless about reaching people for Jesus. So as we wrap up this series, let's put these four commitments up here one final time. Be engaged, be connected, be a fanatic, be relentless. If we all chose to make these four commitments, we continue to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church. We'd see God work powerfully in ways we can't even begin to imagine. We'd see the visions God's put on our hearts become a reality. We'd see God transform our lives, our friends' lives, our family's lives, our neighbors' lives in ways that we can't begin to comprehend. We'd experience the fullness of God's presence and power. We'd see God show us his glory like never before. And that's what will make us all say, I love my church. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us, for seeking and saving us. We do not deserve it. For dying for us, from rising from the grave for us, for providing us eternal life. Lord, how could we not have the same heart to go seek and save, to continue this mission? I pray that, Lord, we choose to become relentless about this. Empower us to do it. Lord, I pray we see your power through it. And Lord, for every person who has never put their faith in you, Jesus, who feels that prompting today to do that, I pray that right now, where they're at, whether it's in this room or at home, Lord, quietly right now, they pray to put their faith in you. That right now, they declare their need for a Savior because of their sin against you. Right now, Lord, they declare they believe that you are the Savior and your death and resurrection was sufficient for their salvation. And in this moment, I pray they ask you to be their Savior. That right now they put their faith in you, Jesus, by asking you to be the forgiver of their sins and declaring they want to follow you as the leader of their lives, as their Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.